Racing at Heart on gamblescomment.com. It's a little podcast that I do to promote why we probably love harness racing and all the rest. Last night at Kilmore is why we definitely love harness racing. Lockie Cook joins me. Firstly, Lockie, congratulations for your win last night. And we're going to get to the whole story about your journey in the racing and everything along those lines, mate. But firstly, congratulations last night.
Yeah, thank you. It was a thrill, and I'm very proud and glad it happened.
I bet you are. Just needless to say, mate, I might have owned the equal favourite in the race, and we never got out at all, I don't think. So, yeah, this is a hard interview, mate.
Nah, it'll be easy.
Lucky, you're a great story, mate. You work at Terang, hence the reason if people are wondering about the reception, that's a little bit of what happens when you're out in the sticks, a long way from nowhere. And it's taken a little bit of setting up to get this much reception, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's taken a fair bit of time.
It has, and there's a little bit of a delay every now and then with your audio, but we'll get there, mate. Last night, you've had a few trial drives, or you've had more than a few trial drives. You've had plenty of trial drives and the likes. Leading into last night at Terang, at Kilmore, how were the nerves going into that race?
Yeah, the nerves sort of, as we got closer to the start of the race, they just got more and more higher, and I got more nervous and nerouser. But as soon as the race started, I was pretty good, and it was sort of race time, and everything went out of my head, and I was just happy to be out there.
You were happy to be out there. It was a bit of an interesting little race. I'll actually play it. Up over the top of me there now, for people that didn't see it. It was an interesting little race early on. I thought, you're going to be caught wide for a fair way, but you actually went to the front and then you're just able to dictate your own race. For a young person, were you nervous when you got that far out in front early in your first drive? Did you think, well, am I going too quick? Or you just were doing what you were told by, I'm sure, Marg and Jason and Glennie Craven were all giving you good instructions to just, you know, which way were you travelling?
Yeah, it did flash into my mind, but I reckon if you just drive a bit of confidence in yourself and just trust your sort of gut instinct, you're normally right. And that's what I did, and luckily enough, everything went as planned and it all worked out in the end.
It definitely worked out in the end. You won very comfortably. The video's still got another lap to go, but that's okay. People can watch that as it goes past. At what point of time did you think to yourself, I'm actually going to win this?
I was a bit confident at about the 300. I thought I was in for a shot, but I had a good look back maybe at the 150 and I knew I was home. Maybe 200 and I knew I was home. It was just an absolute thrilling feeling, and I was just so happy.
Can you describe the feeling, mate?
Oh, it was just like all the pressure I put on yourself and all that just went out the door, and it was all good. It was just very relaxing and very thrilling.
All
at the same time.
This podcast is just going to go. It's going to go a few little ways around, but I was lucky enough to be working Bendigo Pacing Cup night and a horse, and we'll get to that horse later in the interview, but you own a small share in Code Bailey, and it's a great story, and we will get to all those parts. But was it similar to the elation of that night, mate? Because I know that night you're fairly pumped.
Yeah, it's very similar. And I don't really know how to quite describe the moment, but it was just one that I'll never forget. And I'm not quite sure if it tops Code Bailey's win, but definitely up there with it and on par.
On a par. One of the great things, mate, you've just gone across the line there, but I think one of the great things, our little horse Belittled, I don't know if he's got out of his pocket yet. It was incredible that he couldn't get out at all, but Chris Alford could have pulled up and turned around at the gate because, I mean, he was 20, 30 metres behind. I think he was actually more than that behind you. But one of the great gestures that I saw, and I think a lot of people need to say well done to Chris Alford, was to just pull up after the race and came up and gave you a COVID safe fist pump too, like you both got gloves on and all the rest. But that must mean a fair bit to a young man, you know, the best in the business goes out of his way. And I would imagine probably had a little bit more meaning when you watch the replay to see how far behind Belittled was that Chris has made the effort to go up there and congratulate you post the race.
Yeah, he was very good. He was very humble in the feat. And even before the race, he came up and had a few words and just sort of said, "You'd be right. We've all got your back." And I guess that's very soothing and encouraging in the same way.
I think that's awesome, mate. And the fact that you've realised that that's what he does, because a lot of people just probably think Chris Alford's just Chris Alford goes around and drives and all the rest. But I know him personally, and he's definitely not like that. And I think that's terrific. As I said, Racing at Heart podcast, it's on campbellscomments.com. It's designed to get behind the stories of why we do racing, because a lot of us are born and bred into it, or got family members and all the rest. Lucky, your story's nothing at all like that. You have minimal horse experience before, I think, going and cleaning numbers at the numbers room at the Terang Harness Racing Club. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's where it all started, and it didn't take long. Probably about 3 years, 4 years since I started working at the numbers room, but it's now been probably 2 years since working at the Lees, and I can't believe it. I've already driven the first winner.
How did you come to work at the numbers room? Like, how did that start? Like, it's an unusual job for a young man.
Yeah, it was. I reckon it might have been. I was definitely through Claire Payne and Paul Bailey, but I don't really know how it all happened, but I just sort of got there, rocked up, and I was working with this elderly fella called Max for a fair while, and then he gave it away, and then it was just me and the mate in there, and we loved it. Loved having a punt while cleaning the numbers, and that's sort of what helped grow the love of the game.
And then did you form an association with Jason and the boys, or how'd you take the next step and end up out at Marg's helping out there?
Yeah, that definitely grew a friendship with Marg and the boys especially, and then I heard through another friend that they always need work done out there.
You just broke up there.
Said I'll come out Cairns and after.
Hang on, Lockie. I might just backtrack you, Lockie, just so people got to hear that, mate. You said that you heard they were looking for someone to come out and help them. You just broke up. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, so they're looking for just a bloke to come out and do a few hours here and there. And I put my hand up and said, "I'll come out and give you a hand." And then from there, it went on. I started working after school and on the weekends. And it was sort of, for me, I just wanted to work as much as possible. I just loved doing what I was doing out here because it was just an absolute breeze. And I never really loved the horse, but I reckon working out here made me really love him.
So it was more you liked the people was the reason you went out there more so than the love of the horse?
Yeah, that's 100% spot on. The love grew as I worked out here, I guess.
Yeah, that's terrific. There's no horse racing in your family at all?
Nah, there isn't.
Yeah.
My uncle trained a few, but he I never really associated with any of his horses. Never did.
And until you started working the numbers room, was harness racing on the radar at all for you?
Nah, I'd never really even thought about harness racing. It was just sort of a job. And I guess even before working numbers room, I never really, wouldn't really bet on the harness or anything like that from early age or anything.
Yep.
It was just an unknown.
I think there's a pretty, yeah, pretty
it all
good...
changed pretty quick.
Yeah, and I think there's a good lesson to be learnt there for people, in the industry. Two things that have happened to you. Marg Lee And their general kindness is what got you out there and into the industry. And then the act of Chris Alford last night. These little, you know, they call them one percenters, but you can't undersell how important they are to selling our industry.
Yeah, I reckon the harness racing whole sport is full of those people that are always helping, and they're always saying you need a hand or you need this, you need that, and it's just wonderful to have.
Absolutely. Now, you've got a share in a horse called Code Bailey, and you know, young people listening to this story, you know, this is a great testament. Effectively, you were given a small share, and I don't know how big or small your share is, through Jason Lee. And basically, Jace was worried you were going to leave because you were just working that hard and it wouldn't have mattered what you paid. You were going to burn out.
Yeah, they always say I'm burning out, but that definitely sparked me up and kept me going for a long time.
And so they gave you a share in Co Bailey, which did you realise how good he was when they gave you the share?
I always just liked him as a horse, never really wasn't worried about winning the race. I just loved the horse. He just looked perfect in my eyes. And then when he started racing, he was running around Terang, won a race in Geelong, and I was just thrilled to win those sort of middle-class races. And then it took a huge step up in his next prep, and
You still there, mate? Yep.
He took a huge step up in his next prep, yeah. And I didn't think he could do that. But he's shown us and proved me wrong.
Absolutely. You race him in conjunction with Darcy Gardner, Louis Taylor. They're both mates of Jason Lee's. So not just are they AFL footballers, they're good blokes. I've met them both a few times and they're terrific, terrific blokes. But they are family, friends. So it must mean a lot that you've been put in a horse, not just for the sake of, you know, keeping you there working. It's not just a horse that's there to make up numbers or anything along those lines. This is a horse that, you know, Marg and Jason have put good mates of Jace's into to race and with the rest of the family as well, including Marg, the LeVarg group, and two of the Lees as well, who aren't in the LeVarg group, I believe. That's why their names are separated off it. But it must mean a lot to you. Hopefully you're still there, mate. The video just went. But it must mean a lot to you to be put in the ownership of a horse with those people. Just again, the way the Lees have taken you under their wing.
Yeah, they really have, and they've done a great job taking me under the wing, and it's pretty cool to be a part of that group of such, I guess, highly respected people.
I know.
Also, last night after... Are you all right?
Yeah, you're all right, mate. Keep going. You're all right.
And even after the race last night, Darcy called Marg and put me on the phone. It was pretty cool. He said, well done, and that was pretty special.
Yeah, and they're more mates now than owners or anything else along those lines, aren't they?
Yeah, you could call them all mates now. Them cooler.
I was fortunate enough to be Bendigo Cup night and be there, and you were an extremely shy person. You weren't keen on getting out onto the track and get your photo taken. I did an interview with you afterwards, and I'm surprised you're still not smiling. I mean, you smile that night after taking out the Bendigo Cup. You know, you could just clearly see on your face the elation. It was just, it was brilliant. It was raw and it was brilliant. And I think you were extremely overwhelmed.
Yeah, I was. And as I said, that's probably been one of the best moments and feelings of my life. And every time I think of that, it always brings a smile to your face. So it's good.
What about the Terang Cup? Like, I was lucky enough to be there that night. He was expected to win that one. I mean, I think he was in the market in the Bendigo Cup, but he was expected to win the Terang Cup and dominate like he did. And the rest, But the thing I remember clearly was everyone out on the track post the race. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. there was heads on them like mice. They were everywhere, the Lees and all the rest. Did you stop and just sort of look and say, wow, I'm a part of this family, this group, that from afar, so they seem to have a lot of fun?
Yeah, I do stop and think about that at times. It's pretty special to be part of such a large but special group, and they've just done a lot for me, and I can never really repay them.
No, I think you're a great story, mate. He went to the Miracle Mile. That would have been a buzz just having a horse in a Miracle Mile. You wouldn't even know what the Miracle Mile was 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have had a clue what it was. But there I was, watching the race, hoping we'd go all right, and he went well.
He went terrific. What about tomorrow night? He's in the Smoking Up Sprint. How is he? I mean, there's a lot of talk that he's probably going to need a run or two, but how is he, mate? You run a kind eye over him. We're half an hour up going late because you're too busy brushing him. You had to put him away in his box. how does he look?
Got to look after the king. Yeah, he looks top notch. I would say he looks 90%, which is good. But he keeps getting better with the more work he's doing. But I'm not too sure what Marg and Jason are thinking about tomorrow night. I'll just sort of leave that to them, and that's their department.
Mate, you worry about putting him on the track looking good, which I know you always do, and I'm sure the little rock star, he'll have everything sorted out on the track. It's a good combination. Kiang, Jackie, like a lot of the times when young blokes get a drive on a horse, they send them out there to learn as their craft as they go around. Before you drove her last night, mate, she'd had 11 starts for 4 wins and 2 seconds, 2/3. And like she contested the New South Wales Breeders' Challenge. They took her to New South Wales and the rest. Did you actually pinch yourself when they said you're going to be able to drive, you know, a filly like this, let alone a filly like this in a first, you know, your first race start, but even just to get a drive on a horse like that's what a lot of young blokes out there strive to do.
Yeah, I definitely pinched myself, and I knew no matter what field was going to be, that she's going to be the top chance, and she's a really smart filly, and I'm very grateful that Marg has given me the opportunity to drive her, and I'm glad I got to win for her.
Very good. Lucky Cook, mate. Absolutely appreciate you giving me the time. You can tell everyone they can go to campbellscomments.com and listen to the podcast if they like afterwards. And I won't edit it in any way because, I mean, it's a little bit trying. But post-COVID, mate, hopefully we can sit down and I'll put the camera on you properly and we'll have a good chat. But I definitely appreciate your time. We got another drive coming up soon?
Nah, not yet. Nothing in the book. So we just wait and see.
All right, well, a little bit longer than what I wanted, though.
He's, I've been doing a little bit of media training with him on how he has to answer the phone. So anyone out there looking for a young junior driver, give Lockie a ring, and I'll bet you he answers the phone nice and politely too from now on. Lockie, thank you very much. This has been Racing at Heart podcast. I appreciate your time, mate. Well done for winning last night. I think you're a great story, mate, and I hope a lot of harness racing people and racing people in general listen to this and be aware of how we can grow this sport. It's actually just pretty much be nice to people.
Yeah, cheers. It's great to promote the sport, and thanks for the call.
No worries, Lockie. Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.